Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. This show will first be broadcast on Wednesday, September 18th, 2024, on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host Ron Meniza. We're coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. Comment below to let us know you're here and ask questions. You can email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, and Buzzsprout. You may also watch the recorded Facebook Live and Instagram Live episode at FranStorchND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on this show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. All right. So how is poor Ron feeling?
Meh. That's what you get.
Yes, he's a little groany. He's still...
I'm disappointed. That's how I'm feeling.
Because you're feeling stronger, but then when you push yourself, you...
It doesn't last.
No.
Yeah. Right? I'm feeling that the... I don't know. I feel like I'll have a good day, and then a week and a half later, I'll have another good day.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting a lot in between.
Right.
So, you know, it's a struggle.
I wonder if we're going to have to find some other kind of practitioner to help you. Because I've given you everything I can think of. All the protein building stuff, coenzyme Q10, stuff to keep your arteries clear.
Yep.
You're eating lots of protein.
Yep.
And the only thing you're not doing is resting a lot. Because you don't really get a day off.
No, but I'm not going hard every day.
No, but you're not taking any days off. You're on your bike most days. I mean, I think not maybe you're off the bike one day a week.
Yeah, but sometimes I'm on the bike and I'm barely turning the pedals.
I know, but you're not never turning the pedals. Now, I don't know if your body just needs a little more time to recover. And I remember you took there was a while back where you were off. You didn't ride the bike at all for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Then you got back on.
Yeah, I still felt like crap.
I know. Yeah. I'm sorry.
But, I just feel like I've lost everything I had last summer.
Yeah.
Everything. It's all gone. Completely.
Right.
I've got nothing. I was riding my bike to the community center 3 days a week last year this time.
Yeah.
I was teaching a class for an hour after riding my bike there, riding back home. So that was 2 hours a day on the bike.
Yeah.
And feeling like, and getting up the next morning, doing it again, and feeling fine. And, it was like, I had, the hills weren't huge and monstrous and threatening to me. And now I look at a hill and I go, oh my God, am I going to be able to get up this thing?
Right.
And it's just, that's not me. Something's wrong.
No, I know. And I'm just not sure if... I'm just hoping that it's just that your muscle mass was just so depleted that it's just going to take time for it to come back, and not that something changed genetically and you're having difficulty rebuilding muscles because something changed. I hope that's not it.
I hope that's not it either, because this is really discouraging.
Right, right. I just don't know. I just feel like we don't know enough about these, these genetically modified, it's a TNF-alpha. It's not TNF-alpha antagonist, but it is a biologic, and it works. I don't know if it works at modifying the genetic level, but what it does is it modifies these receptors that you make in your liver, and I just don't know if your receptor
population has... You mean the drug that I took?
Yeah. Has gone down. Because my understanding of the mechanism of why this is going on is because your cholesterol dropped so low that you were unable to build... unable to rebuild muscle cells.
That's what we're assuming, but it did not go below levels that were unacceptable, and we did do a test on my muscles.
It was unacceptable
for you. And everything was fine.
It was unacceptable. No.
I hadn't done damage yet.
Yeah, we did. I mean, you had a normal creatine kinase level. That
Correct.
Doesn't mean there isn't something wrong. That doesn't speak to whether you're able to rebuild your muscles. Because we're assuming that what happened is your cholesterol dropped so low that you didn't have enough cholesterol to rebuild muscle cells.
Mm-hmm.
And so And so you're very depleted in muscle cells. And maybe you're just still really depleted and it's just going to take time for them to rebuild. I don't know.
I can only hope.
Yeah, because, and the thing is, if you get your cholesterol checked and it has gone up, that's good. Because then we know you're able to remake cholesterol, that you have cholesterol around, and you'll have the cholesterol you need to rebuild your muscle cells. Because you need them for all your cell membranes.
That test will happen within a couple of weeks.
Yeah, so that'll be very interesting to see.
I'll have more information shortly.
Yeah.
Because my appointment, I think, is in October now. They just moved it on me.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah, so as for me, I think I said this last week, I was told that... you know, I was going a little lightweight on my lime herbs and I needed to take lime herbs for like a year. So I've been a good girl and I've been taking my lime herbs every day, killers and immune boosters and everything in one form or another. Plus I'm taking the modified citrus pectin. And I've had a pretty good week. The only thing that's going on is I'm still dealing with the high blood pressure. I noticed I did a very long bike ride on Saturday for me. It's not a long bike ride for me, but, you know, a longer bike ride than I had done with a lot of hills. And it was 36 miles. And when I got home, my blood pressure was much better. It had spiked the night before, and then it was much better the next day. Today, it's not so good again. And I finally called my doctor and I said, I can't deal with this anymore. And I found out that a lot of my friends who cycle and cycle long distances and hard and far and don't worry about, you know, how much they're riding, and they ride a lot, they're taking lisinopril, which is an ACE inhibitor. So they're doing fine with it, that they've dialed in a dose that works for them. And I had a chat with a good friend of mine about how they were taking their medication, and they told me that they were taking it since they were in their 50s, and so people have been taking it longer than I have, and I probably should have been taking it since I was in my 50s, I'm 60 now, and anyway, my concern, of course, is that I'm going to take it, and I'm going to have side effects. I'm going to be sleepy, I can deal with, lightheaded and dizzy, not so much, and any blood pressure medication that you take can make you dizzy. I'm taking an ACE inhibitor, which is different than the one that I first took, which was an angiotensin receptor antagonist. My mother takes the irbesartan, which is an angiotensin receptor antagonist. She does fine with it. So my two options were this lisinopril that all my friends are taking, except for a couple of them are taking losartan, which is the other one I was thinking about, which is an angiotensin receptor antagonist. But everybody's doing really well on lisinopril, and they, you know, I get to the rest stop and chat with them about it, and they're huff, puff, sweat, sweat. Yeah, I'm taking it. I feel fine. I have no side effects. I'm great. So that sounds good to me. So we're going to start with the babiest dose. I'm going to start with 2.5 milligrams. The script will probably be at the pharmacy for me today, and I'll start taking it and see what happens. Yeah. Just because.
Good luck.
Thank you. I know. Pharmaceuticals, right?
Yeah, I'm not sold.
I know.
I've been
taking so many different things and doing so much breathing and yin yoga and drinking water and drinking coconut water. And the only thing is, you know, the only thing I am not able to do is, you know, I tend to be high strung. A little high strung. And I have genetics, and I can't do anything about the genetics. Both my mother and my sister are on blood pressure meds. And I have to go to work. And work is the thing that raises my blood pressure the most, although sometimes I'll take a reading on a non-work day, and it'll be alarmingly high. So enough already.
Yeah.
The other thing is I want to stop worrying about it.
I want you to stop worrying.
I know. I mean... We did something fun this weekend. Yesterday, we went on a short bike. So we had the hard bike ride. We both had hard bike rides on Saturday. Your hard bike ride was only 21 miles, but it was so hilly that it really got you.
Yeah.
And then I had a harder bike ride that was 36 miles with a lot of hills on Saturday. And then yesterday, we did a very easy bike ride. I think we rode 12 or 13 miles yesterday. And very, you know, we did the rail trail and we did Valley Street and Willimantic, and we went to the Fettle Fest. So we went to Fine Fettle to look at the, they sell cannabis products there. And then they wouldn't let me into the store because I hadn't brought my ID. So just so you know, if you go to a dispensary, you need to bring a photo ID, a valid photo ID, like a driver's license or any kind of an official ID that has your picture on it. So a military ID or a passport or something like that. And a driver's license is fine as long as it has your picture on it. So do they even give out driver's license without photos anymore? I don't think so. That used to be a thing in the past, but I don't think it is anymore. So we rode home. So we got samples of gummies that had nothing in them, just so you could taste the gummies. And we got a bunch of free T-shirts. Three free T-shirts I got. Four, actually. And then
really
we decided...
They're pushing their industry.
It was so cute. And so we decided to drive back. So we drove back, and then I was able to get in. And we're going to try some CBD THC gummies. I got the lowest level of THC, and we'll see how I feel with that. And I'm going to take a gummy. There's 4.5 milligrams of THC in it, and I'm going to cut it into quarters or eighths and take it like that. Ron is going to take a full gummy. Are you going to take a full gummy?
Oh, absolutely.
He's going to take a full gummy, and he tell me how he feels, and I'm going to take it and cut little corners off it and see what happens to me. So that'll be interesting. Yeah, I like CBD, and CBD, they don't sell plain CBD at that dispensary at all.
Yeah, it seems odd.
Yeah, I know. So you have to get your plain CBD elsewhere. You can often get plain CBD at health food stores and online. So I may try some. I am going to get some off the internet and try that. And I do have a couple. When it was easier to find from my distributors, I have some left, and I got some when we were in Vermont one time. And so I'm working through those bottles. I'm almost out of my bottle that I keep on my desk at the office, though. I'm upset. So anyway, so in terms of calming, I'm actually kind of looking forward to taking this med, because it's going to be a lot of stress off me. I just hope that it works and it doesn't make me dizzy. I just don't want it to make me dizzy.
Can I ask if one of the side effects is death? That's my favorite side effect.
Oh, you have to look it up. I don't know.
The thing that bugs me about the pharmaceutical companies is that they actually list death
as
a side effect.
I know.
That begins to make you wonder whether or not they're not.
Well, my cyclist friends are not dead. In fact, they're passing me on hills.
Well, right.
They're fine. So I'm guessing that it's okay. And these are all otherwise healthy people.
Right.
You know, that are one of the friends has a lot of cardiovascular issues, but a couple of them are just like, they went to their doctor and the doctor says, "You have high blood pressure. Here, take this med." And that's it. That's the only med they're taking, and they're fine otherwise. So we'll see. Dr. LaGuardia told me to watch my salt, which is interesting because, you know, having no salt isn't a good idea. So I may choose to not oversalt my food, and I have to make sure that I have adequate potassium. And the other thing that I understand is that lisinopril, I think, can increase potassium. I have to look and see if it increases potassium. The ARBs definitely increase potassium, so you have to be careful. But I don't know that my friends watch their produce. I don't think they do. And they don't seem to be having a problem. I think the big thing is, even if you're taking a blood pressure med, you still have to hydrate. And some of my friends are taking lisinopril with hydrochlorothiazide. And hydrochlorothiazide is a diuretic. And I'm not going to take that because I have my own method of excreting extra water. And that's the Schwitz method.
The Schmitz?
Schwitz method. That's Yiddish for sweat. I sweat a lot. Yeah. So I would much rather sweat and drink lots of water. And drinking water is a natural diuretic. If you drink enough water, you go to the bathroom a lot. And I do definitely during the day drink enough water to make us go to the bathroom a lot. So if you're doing that, then you may not need the hydrochlorothiazide. But a lot of people get the combo. And I'm amazed that some people who are cyclists have the combo. They take hydrochlorothiazide. I'd be so afraid to take a diuretic and be an athlete, but they're fine. They just, and I asked one of them, and they said, I said, "Do you get dehydrated easily?" And they said, "Well, if I don't drink enough water."
Right.
But they're not too concerned about it. I mean, and these are people who ride metrics, so I think I'm going to be okay. I'm just going to work with it. Dr. LaGuardia is giving me the absolute lowest dose to start, 2.5 milligrams, and my friend who's a good bit smaller than me is taking 10 milligrams, and that works for them. So anyway, so that friend gave me a good pep talk around taking it. They suggested, I'm trying to protect their identity. That's why I'm using gender neutral pronouns. They suggested to me, well, if you're worried about getting dizzy at night when you get up, don't just run to the bathroom, sit on the nightstand, take a sip of water, and walk slowly and be aware of your surroundings. I'm just so afraid I'm just going to go in the bathroom and I'm going to pass out and you will be upset from sleep or you won't wake up and I'll be on the floor. I'm afraid of that happening. So I'm hoping that won't happen. So anyway, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm doing. I'm still going to take some basic blood pressure support, you know, like my Hawthorne and magnesium, but I may back off on the more advanced things. I'll probably still take things for anxiety.
And if you pass out on the floor and I have to pick you up, that's the worst case scenario.
No, what's worse than that is if I hit my head and really hurt myself.
Well, but there could be that.
That's what I'm.
That can happen.
I mean, passing out and hitting my head and severely injuring myself that we have to go to the ER. That's what I'm afraid of.
That's no fun.
It's one thing to faint. And it's another thing to pass out and hit your head and have a big gash. And
right.
That's really scary.
Right.
So, all right. And my friends don't have problems with that. So, and they didn't.
Then maybe you won't either.
Let's hope.
How about
okay.
That?
All right. So, moving on. So we've been talking about what I talk to people about regarding fat loss. So let's get into that some more. And I wanted to remind you that the stress reduction is the most important thing to help you with fat loss. You would think that it's diet or exercise, but stress reduction, what conditions does stress reduction help?
What?
Which condition does stress reduction help?
It makes you stay calm.
Yes.
What do you mean?
Name a condition that stress reduction helps. It's a trick question.
Stress.
Stress reduction helps all of them. Any condition you have can be helped by stress reduction. Because when you lower cortisol, you have less sugar in your blood, you have less insulin, you have less inflammation. And so you really want to have less sugar in your blood if you're trying to lose fat. So if you're stressed, you're going to be dumping more sugar into your blood. And when you have more sugar, you increase insulin. Insulin is pro-inflammatory. And also, insulin will take that extra sugar if you're not using it for exercise or movement. It's going to take it and store it for you. So the less stressed you are, the easier it is to lose fat. And I have circumstances with people who they stopped caring about what they were eating. They just went on vacation and relaxed and lost 10 pounds. So that happens sometimes. And then the other thing I see is people retiring and they lose 10 pounds or they lose a significant amount of weight after retirement because they're no longer so stressed. And there's other things that go along with that. You're not sitting in front of a computer and not moving. You're moving through your days in a much more healthful way. So you do an activity and then you feel tired. So you sit down and rest and then you do an activity, you sit down and feel tired. And you're not sitting at your desk being tempted to snack. I have a friend who lost 10 pounds after they retired because they said they weren't snacking anymore. You know, they weren't snacking the way they were. They weren't just like sitting at a desk doing charting and snacking. And there's some of that goes on, I admit. And the other thing is when you feel stressed and you feel like you can't, you know, you don't have time to sit and read a book or relax or lie down or do your yin yoga, you want a treat. So you have a treat. So you eat something because eating something doesn't take a long time. It gives you that little shot of dopamine and then you can keep doing whatever you're doing. So anyway, so stress reduction, I just want to emphasize that stress reduction by, doing deep breathing, doing yin yoga, doing any kind of yoga, sitting in nature, taking leisure walks in nature, prayer, meditation, crafts, whatever your happy stress reducing activity is, that is good for you. And that's going to help to lower your cortisol and help you with fat loss. So remember, that's the most important thing. And then of course, if you're less stressed, what are all the pieces that you need to implement to lose your fat, you're going to be able to think more clearly and you're going to be able to do them better. Yeah. So, yeah. All right. So the next thing I'm going to demonstrate, the next item on my list. So if you're looking, if you're watching on Facebook Live and Instagram Live, you will see me implementing a fat loss strategy.
Glug, glug, glug.
Swallow, I just swallow. Drank. Yes, those, I just drank
for
water.
For those who are on audio only, because this is a radio show, you know.
Yes, I just drank some water.
Yeah.
So drink water is important. It's important to drink plenty of water for fat loss. When you drink water, you hydrate all of your organs. You have better blood volume. All of your organs will work more efficiently, and you need your organs if you want to metabolize well. You need your liver especially for that, and your liver is going to work better if it has water as a substrate for all of the other enzymes that it uses. And if you have trouble drinking plain water, then you want to spike it with some fruit, a little bit of salt, a little bit of flavoring. Stay away from artificial sweeteners. I would rather see you do a little bit of fruit juice or squeeze some fruit into your water than use an artificially sweetened something. But if the caffeine doesn't bother you, you can drink coffee or you can drink tea. And certainly you can drink herbal tea that doesn't have any caffeine in it. Those are things that can be useful. But just get as much in, and there are some studies that suggest whatever your weight is in pounds, drink half that much in ounces per day. And that, of course, is going to vary with your ability to get it down and your activity. Because that, for me, that would be a lot of fluid. And though, having said that, I may still be making it, because I think about all of the fluid that I drink. I mean, I'm doing at least 16 ounces for my lime tinctures, and then another 16 or so just in my protein shake, so that's 32 ounces, and then another 8 ounces for my tea that I have at night with my supplements. So now we're up to 40 ounces, and then the water that I drink throughout the day, I'm probably getting in. So this glass here, I will probably polish off at some point. And this glass probably holds 14 ounces, something like that. Pint glasses hold a little less than a pint, really. So that's another 14 ounces, and I'll probably drink at least another one of these in a day. So I'm getting up to at least 60, you know, at least half a gallon a day. And I try to have people use 64 ounces as a benchmark. But I would have water on hand, or something that's close to water on hand, and be sipping off it all day. Just always have a water glass near you, especially if you're seated, if you're at a desk. You know, as you can see, I'm on the air, and I have my water with me, of course. You kind of need it if you're talking a lot. So I always have water on my desk at the office that I can sip off of throughout the day. And there's other ways to get water in, which is the next thing. So the next item is eat plenty of fiber. And fiber is going to be in vegetables, fruit, nuts and seeds, whole grains. And so fiber is going to help to keep you full. And so fiber is going to help to keep you full, and it's going to help and it has water in it. It lowers your blood sugar. It helps keep your digestive system and metabolism moving. Gives you healthy gut bacteria. High fiber foods provide a lot of nutrition and water without a lot of calories. So it's something that you can really easily eat. And it will make you less likely to want to eat other things. You find that if you... So for example, if you tend to pig out on chocolate, for example. It's very easy to eat chocolate because it's small volume, doesn't have a lot of water in it. It tastes good, and it's easy to just, you know, throw it back. If you try to eat the same amount of grapes, you can only eat so many grapes because of the fiber in the water. You're like, all right, I've had a handful. I think I'm good, because it just fills you up so much. And I find that, you know, when we eat salads, if we eat really big salads, I get so full from those salads. And sometimes if we're having... if we have pasta, like we'll occasionally have gluten-free pasta with some protein on it, and if our salad's too big, I can't eat everything. And I have some nights, especially if I haven't worked out very hard that day, if we have salad, corn, and protein, I can't do it all. I can't fit it all in, or I just feel uncomfortable. So the thing is, I need to make the salad smaller or not have the corn. Because this time of year, I guess we're getting away from the corn season. There's still some corn left, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's still some corn out there. There's a wheat corn on the cob, local corn on the cob this time of year. And it's great, but you have to cut back on the salad. Well, I do anyway. But that's a good thing because it makes me less likely to want to eat a whole bunch of other things. So fiber. Fiber, of course, also makes you have healthy probiotics, and you'll have good probiotics. Certain probiotics that are beneficial to you help to keep your weight down. They help to keep your metabolism happy. So the next thing is to eat adequate protein. You want to get, I say at least 70 grams a day, and not everybody meets that, and it's really probably higher than that. It's probably more like 80 to 100 grams a day, depending on how much activity you're getting, depending on your age. The older you get, you need to eat a bit more protein because it's harder to absorb. On a day when we've had a lot of physical activity, we like to increase our protein. That's the day that we have, we like to have burgers, because then we get a big hit of protein, like a bigger piece of protein than we usually eat on your average day. And so we wanted to have burgers on Saturday. It didn't work out because we had some place to go. And so we didn't get our actual burgers. So we did our burgers yesterday. And I appreciate our burgers when I'm feeling down on protein. And so try not to overdo dairy. Now, there are people who do great with dairy. They feel good with dairy. People like to eat Greek yogurt or skyr. Skyr is this Scandinavian form. It's not actually yogurt. It's really more like a soft cheese. But it functions like yogurt, tastes pretty much like yogurt, like very thick yogurt. But it's not technically yogurt, it's technically a cheese, a fermented cheese. So you can get skyr or Greek yogurt at your friendly local health food store, even at the supermarket. It tends to be very high in protein because it's strained, so most of the water's taken out. So what's left is the whey and the casein. But that's a lot of whey and casein. Now, if you don't react badly to whey and casein and you do fine with it, and you are able to maintain a healthy weight, you can do yogurt or skyr. It's fine. But if you're not, so great with dairy, it's not a good idea. The issue with dairy is that whey and casein's job is to increase insulin so that you can grow. The job of dairy is something that's made by mammals. It's made to cause baby animals to grow. So whey and casein are the protein in dairy, and they increase insulin. And what do we say about increasing insulin? Insulin takes sugar out of your blood, and if the insulin can't push the sugar into your cells for use, it's going to take that sugar and turn it into fat. So especially if you are, if you're older, if you're an older woman, if you're in peripostmenopausal, and you're having cortisol issues and you have that meno belly, you know, you're getting that belly in your tummy, you're getting fat in your midsection, that happens because of too much cortisol. So dairy might not be a great thing to do. Mark Hyman suggests that women with hormonal weight issues do a trial of avoiding dairy. So, and I kind of avoid, I that's why it's on my recommendation sheet, that it's a good idea to try to cut your dairy if you're trying to lose fat. And then there's alcohol. If you're having a drink every day and you're having trouble losing weight, it can affect you. It takes up the resources of your liver so that it is not as available to manage your metabolism and your macronutrients. And the other thing is, this was explained to me by my colleague Jay Tita, and that's that alcohol is converted directly to acyl-CoA, which is part of your metabolic system. And your body is efficient and your body is expedient. And what it will do is whatever's there that it can use for metabolism the most readily is what it's going to do. So if you have sugar in your blood, your body's going to go for that first. So if you're eating a lot of sugar, it's not just that sugar that you don't use is going to get stored as fat. It's that if you are eating sugar, your body's going to use that first because it's right there. It doesn't have to break anything down. It can just use it for energy. And so if you have fat stores, It's going to ignore that. So if you, that's why we talk about lowering your carbohydrates. If you lower your carbohydrates, you're going to have less carbohydrate around and your body's going to tend to dip into your fat stores to use it for energy. Well, if you drink alcohol, alcohol gets converted to acyl-CoA, which goes right into your Krebs cycle. And again, it's expedient. It makes it easy for your body to use that that substance that's in your body, and it's not going to go to fat stores. Why are you giggling? It says, okay, I'm not going to talk about that right now because that's not,
it's very funny.
It is very funny, but it doesn't go with what I'm discussing right now.
I understand that. I'm sorry. Yes. I was,
but you couldn't resist. But that's, what's his name?
Sam Elliott.
Yes. Yes. The guy with the mustache.
He has a dream.
The mustache. Yes. Okay. The mustache and a grin. Okay, so yeah, that's the deal with alcohol. And I have people come in, and I've had people come in and say, especially it seems to work more for men, but if men are having a beer every night and then they just stop drinking alcohol, they lose 10 pounds right away. So it can be really helpful. And so if you're a woman and you're drinking, the ideal amount of alcohol, really, depending on what you read, apparently there's no amount of alcohol that is safe, so that's really helpful for you. And it depends on who you ask. And, you know, we drink alcohol, we enjoy alcohol, and alcohol's, in Judaism, it's a form of joy. You drink it on Sabbath night, you drink it on holidays. Anyway, so for women, we're really only supposed to have a drink every other day. And I have women coming in, they're not feeling good, they have weight issues, they have mood issues, and they're drinking every single day. And I'm like, what are you doing? And so the thing is, if you're doing that and you can't stop, that's an issue. And then you have to, I talk to them about it. And then if they're having trouble with it, then they really need counseling for it. But just know that if you feel like alcohol is something you have a choice about, and you're trying to lose fat, alcohol will probably hamper your fat loss issues. Now, get regular exercise. Now, mind you, exercise is not the most important part of fat loss. The most important part of fat loss is stress reduction. And the second most important part of fat loss is whatever you do in the kitchen. And so I've heard a statistic. I don't know how accurate the statistic is, but the statistic is that fat loss is 70% in the kitchen. But that means that it is 30% exercise. So if you get regular exercise, you will lose fat more readily. You will still lose fat if you reduce what you eat, but you will lose it more readily if you exercise. And exercise is good for you in other ways. What else does exercise provide for you? Stress reduction. So if you do exercise and it reduces your stress, you're going to more readily lose fat. So what exercise should you do? What's the best exercise for you?
The one you'll do.
You got it. Whichever one you'll do, you got it. Mind you, if you do resistance training, it's true that whatever exercise you'll do is great. But I have people getting on treadmills and going on the treadmills for half an hour or an hour and going at a moderate pace. And that just raises cortisol. It doesn't really help you with fat loss. And I tell them, you know, you could do more efficient exercise. You don't have to exercise for as long. And I talk to them about doing intervals. And I had somebody come in who was having trouble with fat loss, and she was doing high-intensity interval training every day. I said, don't do that. You know, it's okay for you to, it's great that you're doing the high-intensity interval training. I'm really proud of you. Most of my patients don't even do that. But please do it on alternate days. 4 times a week tops, but 2 to 3 is probably better. You need more stress reduction. You need to spend that time doing some restorative or yin yoga or something like that. However, doing resistance training with weights or body weight is helpful because you increase muscle mass. When you increase muscle mass is metabolically active tissue. And metabolically active tissue is always burning. It's always moving. It's always metabolizing for you. So even while I'm sitting here, these nice big muscles that I have in my legs from climbing my hills today, they're sitting burning fat for me, and these muscles in my arms from me doing push-ups and me doing my weights, so my overhead presses and stuff, those are burning fat for me. And so the other thing is it's healthier to have some muscle mass on board. It's healthier to lift and carry things, and it's functional. It helps you in your everyday life. So it's important to do resistance training and not just focus on cardio. Mind you, if you do interval training with your cardio, that will help with fat loss, and it will help with fat loss more than long steady state cardio. Long steady state cardio isn't going to help you with fat loss. I mean, it's going to help you somewhat, but it's better. That's why it's really better for, you know, when I live here, if most of my days I'm doing short rides with a bunch of hills in them, and certainly if I do actual hill repeats, that's going to be better for me for fat loss than if I spend, you know, if I do like a metric every weekend, a metric century, you know, a 100K ride every weekend. And doing those long rides, that's why we joke that we see a lot of chubby cyclists, because people ride long, long, long distances, and they're not really doing intervals, and they think that riding long distances is fun. It's, and not everybody's going to find it fun, but we do. And, you know, because you're going on an adventure and you're seeing beautiful places, you're going on fun rides. And if you ride hills, you have to pay for your gorgeous descents with climbing hills, but those descents are a hoot if you get into doing them. You know, I climbed some hills today, and then I got to do some great descents as a result of that. And descents are fun if you are into that sort of thing, and you don't have to do that. So what we tell people to do is focus on resistance training. If you want to lose fat, resistance training is a good idea. High intensity intervals is a good idea, and not every day. 2 to 4 days a week for your interval or resistance training. I do actual resistance training 2 days a week. I do gentle yin yoga most days of the week. And then in the wintertime, I'll do regular vinyasa yoga 2 to 4 days a week. And this time of year, right now, because I'm protecting my knee, I haven't done as much vinyasa yoga, and I may add that back in. I do short practices, maybe 1 or 2 times a week of just the regular vinyasa yoga. That's more because I'm trying to protect the knee. And when I do yoga, I'm doing a lot of protecting of my knee. So we talk about 2 to 4 days a week of resistance training and or high intensity interval training. And then 1 day a week, go long, and you do that at a low intensity. And the long activity could be as long as you like. It could be 45 minutes. It could be an hour. Whatever amount of time you can manage. The distance does not matter. And you can add 5 minutes per week to that time period and work up to something like 2 hours. And if you can't make 2 hours, it's fine. You can do an hour workout, but at a low intensity. And do it in a way that's enjoyable, something that you can sustain for a long time, and not that steady state medium intensity. We're talking low intensity. And start with whatever amount of time you can manage. Even if you're only currently walking for 10 minutes, your long walk can be 11 minutes. And your long activity could be any activity that you like, whether it's a bike ride, a swim, walk, or hike at an easy pace. So 1 day a week, you get out there and you focus on exercise, but exercise that's enjoyable and easy to do. And so then, and part of that is because low intensity exercise lowers cortisol, but it also keeps you moving. You will get some fitness benefits from it. And it's stress reducing. And so that's something that can help with fat loss too. Okay. So the next thing that's helpful for fat loss is reducing starches and sugars. So this is a hard one for a lot of people. People like their bread. People like their bagels. People like their desserts. People like their chips. People like to have a burger with a great big bun. And what I see is people eat a lot. People focus on starches. People have starches and maybe some meat. And some people barely eat meat. The thing they're mostly eating is bread and cheese. And a diet of bread and cheese will not help you lose weight. I'm just telling you that right now. So reducing starches and sugars is important. Try limiting desserts to either small portions of 100 calories or less, or have whatever you like twice a week. And when I say whatever you like, if you go to the coffee shop and you get a very large, frappe or a coffee with cream that's over 1,000 calories, that's not what I'm talking about. because you can get a day's worth of calories in some of the drinks that you can get at some of the coffee shops.
It's all true. Yeah.
Right.
It's scary.
Right. And the thing is, it's all sugar and fat. And when you mix sugar and fat or starch and fat together, you increase neuropeptide Y. Neuropeptide Y is a peptide in your brain that lowers your, it makes it so you don't feel your satiety. It makes it so that you feel hungrier. So name two foods that are mostly starch and fat or sugar and fat that everybody loves to eat.
Donuts.
Donuts is one, but one that's more common than donuts.
More common.
Oh, that everybody likes to eat. You go out for?
Pizza.
Very good. That's one of them. And what's the other one? When you go out for, let's have some fun and go over to that place you like to go. You like to go all the time.
Yeah, I don't know, a burger and fries, whatever.
That place that you like to go all the time.
Oh, ice cream.
Yes.
We like it.
Very good. Right. You got it. So the issue is that pizza is, so many people eat pizza, and pizza is not a great food for fat loss because it's starch and fat. It's a lot of starch and it's a lot of fat, and it's usually not whole grain. So, and what do you want after you have one piece of pizza?
Another one.
Right. And what do you want after you have two pieces of pizza?
The rest of it.
Right. You got it. Exactly. And how is that? And thousands of calories in that pizza. How can you eat that much? You can't eat the same volume of salad because it fills you up. But it's the neuropeptide Y when you eat that much. And why is it that you can eat a pint of ice cream in a sitting? Same thing. It hits your neuropeptide Y. It increases that neuropeptide Y. And you don't feel your satiety. So before you know it, you've eaten both Ben and Jerry. And that's it. And so, and those are really commonly eaten foods. And they really make it hard for you to lose fat. So reducing your starches and sugars is important. And the thing is, you want to have pleasure. You don't want to become orthorexic. So orthorexic is a word that means correct eating. That means every single thing that goes in your mouth is perfect. And I'm not an advocate of that. I'm an advocate of eating for pleasure. I'm Jewish, and we're one of the cultures that you eat food to enjoy it, and you celebrate with food. And celebrating with food, that there's a study that was out there that showed that people who belong to places of worship tend to be heavier than people who don't. Because what do you do when you go to the place of worship? You have food. After the service, you have some kind of food. And, they're not going to just serve you vegetables and salads all the time. They will, but they're going to serve you sweets and stuff, treats, stuff to eat. And, Judaism, we have so many celebrations that revolve around food. And even Yom Kippur, where you don't eat. Before Yom Kippur starts, you're supposed to eat enough to sustain you through the fast. And at the end of Yom Kippur, you have a break the fast, which is usually bagels and lox and cream cheese and, stuff that's going to make it hard, because, break the fast kinds of foods. So, so reducing starches and sugars is important. And one of the reasons is, if you have less starch, like I said, your body is expedient. And if it has sugar in your blood, easy to access starch and sugar on board, it's going to go for what's in your blood, and it's not going to go for your fat stores. So how much should you lower your carbs? Well, there are people who go on the ketogenic diet. I don't necessarily recommend that. If you are on the ketogenic diet, if you can see me on Facebook and Instagram, I'm pointing at you. If you're on the ketogenic diet and it's working great for you and you feel fantastic, please be on the ketogenic diet. I have some patients, the only way they could heal severe inflammation was by going keto carnivore. And that's what they did, and that's what they do, and they're fine. And there's some science to that. Because all the nutrients that you can get are in animal protein. And if you can eat that, if you can do it that way, that's okay. But You know, I wouldn't be able to do it that way. I don't digest animal protein so easily. So I do better with a mix of protein, carbs, and produce. And I do very well with produce, especially vegetables. So reducing starch and sugars is important. If you're going to do dessert, small portions of 100 calories or less, or have whatever you like a couple times a week, and reasonable portions. If you're going to have carbs, opt for smaller amounts of higher fiber carbs over bread and flour-based items, especially if they're refined. So things like squash, sweet potato, quinoa, amaranth, teff, oats, black or forbidden rice, and also add in some beans if you tolerate them. If you eat beans, and every single time you eat beans, you can't find a way to cook them that doesn't give you gas, you don't have to eat beans. Beans are not necessary to life. If that happens to you with beans, you're probably better off eating some animal protein. But if you feel fine when you eat beans, beans can be really helpful because they are really high in fiber. They're high in soluble fiber. They are filling, and they have a lot of resistant starch in them. So they go through your system more slowly, and resistant starch, when it gets into your colon, it works as a great prebiotic. So you'll make good gut bacteria from eating beans, and beans and bean products like hummus. I love a good hummus.
There is a local donut establishment, which is pretty much all over New England. Did you know that they have this lovely thing called a glazed jelly stick?
No.
It only has 540 calories.
And one glazed.
That's
more than a meal that I would generally eat.
It's obscene. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the list here, their nutrition menu. It's scary.
Right.
It's scary. Because if you add to that a well-sugared coffee with lots of cream...
You've got your calories for the day.
You're there. You're done.
Yes.
You're going to go over 1,000 calories.
And it's all starch, sugar, and fat. Right. So it's that neuropeptide Y gets kicked up, and now you have... And you can eat the whole thing.
So it's a recipe for type 2 diabetes?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's very concerning. Wow. Right.
And you can't even work that off. You can't even go and do a hard workout and get rid of all those calories.
No.
Unless you like ride your bike for 3 hours.
Right. Right. You're generally not going to burn that amount of calories. And it's not just that you're not going to burn those calories in a day. It's the type of calories they are. 200 calories of chicken breast is not the same as 200 calories of, what did you call it? A jelly?
Yeah. It's called a glazed jelly stick.
Right. So that glazed jelly stick has sugar, fat, and starch.
It has 30 grams of fat, 15 grams of saturated fat, 66 grams of carbohydrates, 4 grams of protein, 37 grams of sugars, and 430 milligrams of sodium.
Right. Yeah, well, that's not terrible for sodium, but the other thing.
It's like death on a stick.
Well, it's what I'm talking about. It has the starch, fat, and sugar in large quantities, and it kicks up your neuropeptide Y. Your body's going to expediently put all that sugar into your blood, and your insulin's going to try to push it into your cells. It's not going to be able to, so your insulin's going to take most of that starch and sugar and turn it into fat, and you're going to store it. And that's how that works.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, yes, there are, and the thing is, those establishments make it very easy for you to go to them because there are drive-thrus. Either that, or you go into other establishments, and there's that establishment is inside of other stores.
Right.
So if you're walking by, you're going to go shopping in that store, and on your shopping cart, there's a place to put a drink, and you can go into that establishment and get your great big coffee or whatever.
Yeah.
So so if one of the things you're doing every morning, I'm just going to throw this out. If one of the things you're doing every morning, whether you're making it at home or you're buying it at a coffee establishment, and you're having a coffee that is sweetened and it has either half and half or some kind of creamer in it, you know, one of those flavored creamers that has a lot of sugar in it, and that's how you're starting your day every day, and you're worried about your weight. That's one of the issues that you have. If you could, it's like the guys we said, if they stop drinking alcohol and they lose 10 pounds, if you could stop having that drink, that might make a big difference. And you can get, so remember I talked about, if you're doing half and half, the thing with half and half is that it's dairy. And so remember, the dairy protein is going to raise your insulin more than just the starch and sugar in it. So if you do a low-calorie non-dairy creamer that's natural, and you can get nice natural non-dairy creamers that have no sweetener in them, and you put that in your coffee, that they tend not to have a lot of calories. And then if you, even if you put a teaspoon of sugar or a teaspoon of maple syrup or honey in there, that's much better than having all that caffeine. And the other thing to do is, if you get really good coffee, like we went to that fair, the Fine Petal Fair, and there's that gentleman who was going to open a cafe there, mm-hmm. and he gave us some of his coffee, and it was really good.
It was good.
And we had it with nothing in it. So if you get really good coffee, black, you can train yourself. I don't know if everybody can, but I really appreciate a delicious coffee that has nothing in it. Mm-hmm. Because it's a flavor experience.
It's also that it doesn't have any calories.
And it has no calories. That's right. Right. So
that's another thing, because it's flavored
water. But if you
water.
Insist on something sweet, you can train yourself to have just a little bit, maybe a teaspoon of maple syrup, which is much better for you than all those calories of sugar.
Or you could have a cocoa mocha signature hot latte in large for 520 calories.
No, or not. The other thing you could do is you could take your coffee, take a teaspoon of maple syrup, take you know, a few tablespoons of nut-based unsweetened creamer, and you can put raw organic cocoa powder in it and shake it up, and you'll have a nice drink.
You'll have an experience.
And there are even mochas that you can buy pre-packaged that in one container there's 140 calories. And I get those and I don't even finish them. I sip on them through the day and I keep them. So like those little boxes I get from the co-op, I sip on them and, you know, I don't make it through a whole one in a day. So you found something else that's really alarming.
They just keep going up. Yeah. So this frozen treat, which is a frozen chocolate medium, 690 calories.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's insane. The drinks that they're serving. Get this one. Per large, this is a French vanilla swirl frozen chocolate.
Sounds delicious.
900 calories.
Oh, my word. Yeah.
How can they legally serve this crap?
People have a choice. Sugar is not illegal.
Oh, my God. But don't forget about the caramel swirl frozen coffee with a cream in large. It's only 1,120 calories.
Whoa.
Right.
Again, now we're approaching your total calories for the day. That's very impressive.
Well, add that stick on.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we've got... Add that stick on, and you're going to be in some big-time trouble.
So watch your carbs. There are ways to do your caffeinated beverages with a lot less calories. One of them is to learn to enjoy them for their flavor. If you get a really good coffee, you may not need to put anything in it. Or you can train yourself to put in. Now, the other thing I like to do with coffee is put a bunch of cinnamon in it. Because cinnamon, you can have all you like. Cinnamon, you put cinnamon into taste. Good quality cinnamon, one of the things that it does is it helps to regulate blood sugar, and it makes your coffee taste sweeter so that you might not need as much sugar in it. So I recommend that. So anyway, then let's talk about supplements. Supplements only help so much with fat loss. The key is dialing in the ideal diet for you, reducing your stress, and getting regular exercise. Having said that, you can take curcumin or moringa supplements. Moringa is the miracle tree, and has a lot of antioxidants in it. And you can eat fermented foods like sauerkraut or other fermented vegetables, or take a probiotic if you want to. And that, I take probiotics not for fat loss, but for my health. Yeah. So And so back to ultimately, you have to weigh the risks and benefits of weight loss surgery and drugs. Remember, if you have surgery, you have to manage various symptoms for the rest of your life, such as dumping syndrome and malnutrition, and there's no guarantee that they'll work forever. With the meds, one of the ways they work is to reduce your appetite and manage your insulin, especially for people who have had great difficulty with weight loss or have insulin resistance. You may have to take these drugs for the rest of your life to maintain the effects, and they have side effects. However, there are people who, for various reasons, are not able to maintain a healthy weight with diet and lifestyle change. For many of these people, it may be less risky to have bariatric surgery or to take meds, as they can reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease and organ and nerve damage due to diabetes. You need to have good discussions with your naturopathic physician, your primary care doctor, and a skilled bariatric physician or surgeon. All right, so that's what we were talking about this week. And next week, we will talk about some supplements that can help with fat loss. So you've been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host Ron Meniza. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, and Buzzsprout. You may also watch the recorded Facebook Live and Instagram Live episode at Fran Storch, ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org.